This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
We will call the Public Utilities Commission meeting to order. It is February 19th, 9:30 a.m., back in our homeroom at 413 in the state capitol. This is Chair Nelson. I am in the committee room, and Commissioners Fegan and Hansen are present on the telephone, so we have a quorum. I think we can probably go through the agenda in order, unless there's any objection to that. And we will move to approval of the minutes. Is there a motion?
Move to approve the commission minutes held on February 2nd, 2021.
Move to approve. Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. The minutes are approved. And that brings us to consumer reports from Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The Commission received a total of 92 contacts since the last report was prepared for the February 2nd, 2021 Commission meeting. 8 contacts related to telecommunication services, 29 contacts related to electric services, 5 contacts related to natural gas service, 6 contacts related to wireless service, 14 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, 4 contacts related to wind energy, 1 contact was referred to One Call, and 25 contacts related to issues that are not regulated by the PUC. 251 of the 257 contacts received in 2021 have been resolved.
Thank you, Deb. Obviously, this has been a more challenging week in the electric sector across the midsection of the country than normal. And obviously, South Dakota is in a much, much better place than some other states. But I'm curious, did you have any calls of concern this week, Deb?
Yes, we had a few calls of concern. And, you know, we answered them as best we could. But I think for the most part, South Dakotans are pretty prepared for winter at times. But so just a few calls related to the outage and had some questions.
Okay. And so far as those questions, I mean, anything that commissioners should be aware of or things that you were all able to take care of?
There were things we were all able to take care of. We did have a few calls about people really concerned about wind energy and maybe not being so reliable on it. So that was most of the calls. When they called, they were concerned maybe that we need to stay with other forms of energy production than wind energy.
Okay, I appreciate that. Any other commission questions? If not, Deb, thanks to you and your crew for taking care of folks in South Dakota this week. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks.
That will bring us to our first docket, telecommunications, TC 13-026, in the matter of the study area boundaries for incumbent local exchange carriers, a filing by staff.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. This is Joe Rizek with staff. Staff reopened this docket for the biannual certification of the telecom study area boundaries that is to be submitted to the FCC. Staff is not aware of any changes to the study area boundaries that have taken place since the last certification submitted in 2019, and as such, staff would recommend the Commission certify the current study area boundaries.
Thank you. And Ms. Rogers, I see you're signed up on this docket.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. I don't have any comments. I was just wanting to know what action the Commission was going to take so I can report that to my clients.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the Commission? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in TC 13-026, I move that the Commission certify the current study area boundaries as they have been described by staff.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion?
None from me. Except that I appreciate the work that staff does on this.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Egan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. TC 20-061, in the matter of staff's petition for an order to show cause against National Access Long Distance. And let's go to staff.
Thank you. This is Kristen Edwards for staff. We filed the petition for an order to show cause a while back, and after the order to show cause was issued, we got in contact with the company. So going back, there were a few different avenues that we could go down to pursue when a company commits a violation, such as failing to work with staff to correct an issue. In this case, rather than a fine, which we thought would be difficult to pursue, staff had initially requested revocation of the company's COA. However, after that show cause order was issued, the company began working with us to come to a resolution. So rather than a revocation, as part of their go-forward plan, National Access agreed to pay a $1,000 fine. Staff is in agreement with that and believes the fine is sufficient as a deterrent as well as appropriate in light of the underlying issue that led to our need to contact the company and the issues we had in doing so. Obviously, we strongly prefer it does not get to the point with any company of taking punitive action such as revocation or a fine. As staff, we are very proud of our long track record of being able to work with companies to come to amicable resolutions to solve problems through communication and cooperation, and that's how it works 95% of the time. So I'm really disappointed that it came to this, but we're going through the same thing with another company, so I hope they're listening and decide to respond to Ms. Gregg's emails. Consumer Affairs, as you heard earlier, had nearly 100 phone calls this week, so it's definitely important that companies respond. With that, Ms. Gregg and I have read through the plan that the company filed, and we support that plan. So if the commission is also in agreement, we'd recommend that the plan be adopted and the show cause be dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to ask, before we go further, Alicia Bennett, are you on the line yet?
Yes, I am.
Okay. At this point, I will turn it over to either you or Mr. Walker to represent National Access.
Thank you. This is Joe Walker. Just a little bit of background. I won't take up too much of your time, but the owner of this company had an untimely death in July of 2018. And I'm an outside consultant that has been hired by his estate to handle this company and others, but this company in particular. So we have had a fairly difficult time since 2018. One of the things that we did is we hired an outside vendor to field these kinds of complaints. We did not have, in our opinion, good visibility into what was happening here. We have since that time called our vendor to task on this. And as you can see from part of the plan, we're getting much closer with them. We're also evaluating whether we want to use them going forward. Alicia Bennett is on the line. She is a full-time employee of the company. Ready to answer any questions you might have, but we want you to understand that we take this matter very seriously. Once it came to our attention, we jumped on it and worked with the staff and with the attorney. So we're asking to have this plan adopted, and we have agreed to pay the fine of $1,000. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Questions from the commission?
I do have a commission or a question for Ms. Gregg when ready.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you were working on behalf of a South Dakota citizen to try to get an issue resolved. Was that issue resolved, and what was the issue?
Yes, this is Greg from staff. Yes, the issue was resolved. The customer received a billing that they believed for a phone charge that they believed was not theirs. They contacted us early in January of 2020, actually, about the bill and never sent it in, just so we had documentation of it. They sent it in later in 2020.
Ms. Deb, could you just wait one second? Ms. Deb?
Yeah.
We have background noise, so I'm going to assume somebody is off mute. So I'm just going to ask everybody to go on mute if you are not speaking.
Is that bad? Is that better?
Commissioner Feagin, are you still with us?
Oh, I am. I can hear you, but you can't hear me now, right?
I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Deb, go ahead.
All right, perfect. The customer contacted us, as I said, in early of 2020 and received a billing that they believed was not theirs. They don't recall using National Access Long Distance and are making the charges, incurring those charges. They sent the bill in because it continually increased. So they sent the bill in then in late 2020 to us finally, and we submitted it. They did not want to participate in the process. They just wanted the charges reversed or credited. So we sent it in, asked for an explanation, really didn't get an explanation if the charges were legit or the company felt they were legitimate. They just credited them, which is ultimately our goal, is to get those charges corrected for the customer. But it did take, as Ms. Edwards said, a long time to get a response, and it did take an order to show cause to get that response. But ultimately, yes, the customer was taken care of.
Thank you, Ms. Gregg. And I'm sure glad the National Access Long Distance Company is online, because if there are other South Dakotans, I would expect them to work with all of them and look at their bills to make sure they're not being charged for something that is not being used. Thank you.
Well, on that line, this is Commissioner Nelson. I want to follow up on that. So, Ms. Gregg, have you had other complaints regarding this company?
No, we have not.
Thank you. Other commissioner questions? I've got a few questions. For National Access, is it my understanding that the nature of your business in South Dakota is simply long-distance access? Is that accurate?
Yes, that's correct.
And so how does this vendor fit into the scheme of your operation? What are they responsible for?
They are our regulatory agent, so they represent us for regulatory and compliance matters.
Wow, if that's their specialty, I think you can go right past the evaluation you claim you are doing, right to the point of, you know, maybe finding somebody that can actually perform that function, if that's supposedly their specialty. Question for staff. Why were we contacting a vendor instead of contacting the company directly?
That was the contact information that the company provided to us in their, I believe it was their gross receipts tax filing and annual report filings. And it was also the contact information provided to the Secretary of State's office.
Okay. I think that's all the questions that I've got. Any other commissioner questions? Is there a motion?
NTC 20-061, I move that the commission adopt the plan set forth in the February 3rd,
2021 letter.
Discussion on the motion.
First of all, thank you to staff and for really just being just about like a pit bull on protecting our citizens. You called and called and called, and you emailed and emailed and emailed. And according to the letter and what you guys settled on, it appears that they did not return your phone calls month after month on emails. Month after month, and you kept on it, and I appreciate that. For national access long distance, I expect you to treat South Dakota citizens in a way that we do business in South Dakota with the respect they deserve. Thank you.
Additional discussion. I'll be honest, I'm wavering on whether this is a significant enough penalty for this particular company. I appreciate everything that Commissioner Feagin has said is absolutely right. Greatly appreciate our staff and their persistence in following up on this. But when you've got a vendor specializing in regulatory issues that completely blows off every single attempt by a state regulatory agency to even engage, I mean, just simply engage. Simply talk to. That's pretty egregious. I do understand. I appreciate the background on the company and the difficulties. You know, if you're going through a transition in ownership, especially if a key figure is passed on, I understand that, you know, things are not going to be completely smooth. But this is certainly not something that can happen again. And I also would say I don't view this as a precedent of the right amount if this is exactly what we approve. Additional discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
And Nelson will vote aye. Thank you. And again, to staff, thank you for your persistence in this. That brings us to TC 21-001 in the matter of the application of LTD Broadband LLC for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier for purposes of receiving federal universal service support. And the question is, shall the commission grant intervention to any parties that may have filed? And we will go to SDTA.
Mr. Commissioner, may I remove my mask to speak?
You may.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, SDTA, this is Kara Semler. I'm appearing today on behalf of the South Dakota Telecommunications Association, otherwise known as SDTA. SDTA did intervene in this matter. Our reasons, therefore, are all stated in our petition to intervene. As that petition states, our companies, we represent 18 rural telephone companies, those companies are geographically connected to the areas that LTD Broadband intends to serve through the RDOF auction process. Some of our companies are currently serving in those areas. And I can tell you all of those companies are always evaluating how they can expand into those areas. And the product that LTD Broadband indicates it intends to serve through these areas will impact those companies, the SDTA companies' ability to grow into those areas. It's going to impact their access to Connect South Dakota grant money. It's going to impact their access to Reconnect money. And some of those companies were, in fact, RDOF auction participants themselves. The outcome of this docket, therefore, will specifically and uniquely impact every single one of those companies. SDTA and our member companies have more general concerns as well about the integrity and transparency of the RDOF auction process itself. And the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission has a very important role in that auction process in this exact proceeding. And therefore, we intend to pursue our interest in transparency and integrity at the FCC and here at the PUC. Would ask for your support and grant SDTA's intervention.
Thank you. Ms. Rogers, I see you're signed up on this one. Are you intending to speak or just listen?
Well, I would just echo the comments that Kara made. I would note that I have clients who are RDoF awardees, and so we will certainly be monitoring this docket very carefully as well.
Thank you. And with that, we will go to LTD Broadband. And let me first ask, is Chris Twomey on the line? Okay, we're thinking that there is no representative on the line from LTD Broadband. We're not seeing them. So then we will go to staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Amanda Reese for staff. Staff has no objection to SDTA's request to intervene in this docket. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Motions. In TC 21-001, I move that the commission grant intervention to the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Brings us to TC 21-002 in the matter of the application of Unity National LLC for certificates of authority to provide local exchange and inter-exchange telecommunication services in the state of South Dakota. The question, shall the commission grant intervention to any parties that may have filed? And SDTA has filed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. This is again Kara Semler here on behalf of the South Dakota Telecommunications Association, or SDTA. SDTA companies, as I indicated, 18 rural telephone companies, have an interest in assuring all of the state and federal rural safeguards are recognized and incorporated into any commission order. Unity has reached out, and they've proposed language. We're looking at a stipulation. We really appreciate the efforts they've made to resolve the matter, and I think we'll come before you with resolution of this. At this time, however, I still do request that the commissioners grant the request for intervention and hope to see you soon with resolution.
Perfect. I don't see anybody on the line for Unity, but I'll just ask and make sure. I'm not hearing a response out there, and so we will go to staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Amanda Reese for staff. Staff has no objection to SDTA's request to intervene in the docket. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the commission or motions?
Mr. Chairman, in TC 21-002, I move that the commission grant intervention to, SDTA.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none.
None for me.
Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Brings us to our electric dockets, EL 20-032. In the matter of the petition of Otter Tail Power Company for approval of a transmission cost recovery rider rate. And the question is, shall the commission approve Otter Tail Power Company's TCR rate factors and revised tariff sheet with an effective date of March 1st, 2021? And we'll turn it over to Otter Tail.
Good morning, Chair Nelson and Commissioners. This is Lynn Walters from Otter Tail Power. Thank you for reviewing Otter Tail Power's 10th annual update to the transmission cost recovery rider. I also want to thank the staff and recognize their efforts in putting together a comprehensive staff memo. After reviewing the memo, we accept the document as written and recommend the commission approve Otter Tail's annual update. Thank you again, commission. We are available for questions at this time.
Thank you, staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson of staff. Staff has reviewed this filing and has reviewed the discovery responses, and Otter Tail has, you know, submitted updates to what we agreed on, and we've reviewed those. Staff will refer to the memo as filed and would recommend the commission approve Otter Tail's TCR rate factors and revised tariff sheet with an effective date of March 1st, 21. Thanks.
Thank you. Questions from the commission?
Commissioner Fegan has a question.
Go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, Patrick Stephenson, thank you for the very lengthy but thorough memo. It was very, very helpful. And Otter Tail, I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this today, but I would sure like the information sometime soon. So your Central Power Electric Cooperative and your Otter Tail, that non-contiguous ownership facilities that you've had since 58, and in January 2016, Otter Tail's load was isolated, so you need to pay SPP. And we have talked about this several times, that SEAMS issue, and I've had lots of discussions on SEAMS the last couple of years at a SPP MISO level. Can you give me, I mean, there's a little bit of update, but it's kind of hard for me to figure out in all the details of exactly the additional expense we have minus the revenue from MISO, the net expense we have on that line. And it states that you are continuing to look at steps to alleviate some of those expenses and build new facilities. So can you give me an update on that, or could you do that in additional information later? That's my question. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Fegan. That is a good question, and I think we can provide that information to you at a later date.
Okay, thank you. I just really want to continue to keep on top of that and the SEAMS issue. I understand that there's tariff issues. But anyway, I would like that information. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Additional commissioner questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 20-032, I move that the commission approve Otter Tail Power Company's TRC rate factors and revised tariff sheets with an effective date of March 1st, 2021.
Discussion on the motion.
Thank you, Otter Tail and staff, for working on this this transmission cost recovery rider. We have looked at this year after year after year. Otter Tail continues to work on working on their facilities to update them, and we certainly all appreciate that. I know the three commissioners really appreciate when our facilities continue to work. And thank you, Otter Tail, especially for this week. You guys have worked hard. I'm very, very proud of our utilities in the state of South Dakota. People implemented our plan, and it worked in an emergency, crazy week or crazy couple weeks, and we appreciate your help, too. Thank you.
Additional discussion. I will simply say it appears to me that, between the company and staff, you've really fine-tuned the methodology for making these filings and working through the filings, and then there was an update when it was appropriate to the dollar amounts, and it just seems to me like this is getting to be a very, very clean process, which obviously makes it easier for commissioners to go through it and make our decisions. So I want to say thank you for that. Additional discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye, those opposed nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Otter Tail, for being on the line with us. That will bring us to NG21-001 in the matter of the filing by Montana Dakota Utilities for approval of its revised conservation tracking adjustment. And the question is, shall the commission grant MDU's request for approval of the revised conservation tracking adjustment of $0.020 per decatherm and the associated conservation program tracking mechanism rate 90 tariff sheet with an effective date of March 1st, 2021. We will go to MDU.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for having us on. I am Caitlin Wall, regulatory analyst at Montana Dakota Utilities. Also on the line is Travis Jacobson, director of regulatory affairs, and Kathy Borlocker, market and business analysis with me today. The filing before you is a request to adjust Montana Dakota's conservation tracking adjustment, also known as CTA, to reflect the true-up of actual expenditures through December 2020 and projected 2021 expenditures as approved by the Commission for the 2021 through 2023 portfolio in docket number NG20-011. The CTA proposed in the January 29, 2021 filing reflects an increase from the currently effective CTA rate. Montana Dakota requests to implement a CTA rate for the period March 1, 2021 through February 28 of 2022 of $0.020 per DK, representing an increase of $0.012 from the current rate, or an annual increase of $0.84 for a residential customer using 70 DK annually. Cost per residential customer equals $1.40 per year at $0.20 per DK. Commercial equals $4.80 increase for an annual cost of $8 per year based on 400 DK. Participation in the gas conservation portfolio in the last year remains relatively consistent with prior years, with 789 total customers participating. The portfolio provided DK savings of $148,585 over the project life of the installed equipment at a total cost of $186,528. 98% of the budgeted DK savings were obtained at 86.2% of the authorized budget cost. The amount to be recovered includes 75% of the budget of $141,200 approved for 2021. The company has proposed to limit the amount of projected expenses included in the calculated rate in order to address the cumulative over-recovery over actual program costs. The Residential Energy Audit Program had three customers that utilized the program during 2020. Due to the current pandemic, energy audits were suspended during 2020. Prior to the suspension, there were three audits able to be performed. This program does not provide specified DK savings due to the nature of the program. However, customers likely see benefits from participation at a minimal cost. Montana Dakota analyzed the cost effectiveness of its 2020 program results using projected 2021 residential gas costs of $6.088, and the total portfolio is cost effective along with each individual program. The rebates provided were cost effective and provided benefits to all customers. Montana Dakota requests approval of the CTA rates effective with service rendered March 1st of 2021.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stevenson of staff. This filing represents the true-up for the 18 through 23 year plan, and staff has reviewed this filing. And MDU has responded to staff discovery. Staff would recommend the commission grant approval of the revised CTA of 2 cents per decatherm and the associated tariff sheet effective March 1st, 21. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Motions? In NG21-001, I move that the Commission grant MDU's request for approval of the revised conservation tracking adjustment of 2 cents per decatherm and the associated conservation program tracking mechanism rate 90 tariff sheet with an effective date of March 1st, 2021. Discussion on the motion. I'll say just two things. First, I'd echo the same comments I made on the last docket that between the company and staff, you've really gotten a fine-tuned methodology for submitting these filings and reviewing them, getting us the information we need. Appreciate that. The second thing is maybe just a 30,000-foot view. I've made a lot of comments over the years about these type of dockets and the fact that, it's really the individual homeowners and business owners that benefit the most from these energy efficiency measures that they're obtaining rebates for, and that's a good thing. But I think this last week of what we've experienced with the tremendous demand on the electric grid as a whole, it would be one of those times when all of the dollars we've driven into these energy efficiency measures over the years pay a dividend to the entire grid and to everybody that's using the grid through reduced consumption. And so I just wanted to make that point that this is one of those weeks when it really, really does pay off for everybody. Additional discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to items for commission discussion, and I do have an item that I would like to raise. Very recently, staff filed a letter regarding their staff expert Hessler's review of some sound testing that had been done at Crown Ridge 1, and that letter left me with questions. And so I would like to just make a request that staff would, at some future meeting in the near term, make Mr. Hessler available to us on the phone so that we can, at least I've got questions, can ask some questions about his review and where that leaves us. Any other items for commission discussion?
I am in agreement with Commissioner Nelson. It is very technical, and so it will be good to have a discussion so we can understand it all. So thank you, Commissioner Nelson, for asking for that.
Thank you. Any additional commission discussion? If not, we will move to public comment. Amber Christensen, have you joined us? Amber, we think you're on the line, but we're not hearing you.
Oh, sorry. Here I am.
Okay. This is the time for public comment. Go ahead.
Okay. So I live in Crown Ridge 1, and I wasn't going to speak about that letter today, but, yeah, that left me with questions, too, and kind of scratching my head. So I'm glad we're going to discuss that on a later meeting. I'm calling today about, I also live directly west or pretty directly west of Dual Harvest North, which was approved with a PUC permit 18053. I wasn't an intervener on that project, but I do know that the commission doesn't get to hear comments day to day and you don't get to discuss things with staff. So I would like to notify you that and have possible discussion, probably not, but because it's just public comment. But condition 35 of their permit says they are required or shall use, which means required, to use an ADLS lighting system. And that is not being utilized from what I can see because through my windows, the lights blink consistently. They're never off. So they're on 100% of the time. So they're not even trying to tweak anything. They're just not utilizing a system like that at all. The turbines are spinning, so I presume that they are in operation. And I just like the staff to be persistent in this matter to protect South Dakotans, just like I've heard you discuss today during the meeting how you take care of South Dakota. And we live out here, we work, and we like to get rest, and we like to enjoy our nighttime skyline. And I'm just hoping that we can get that addressed, like, much more quickly than we did with Crown Ridge 1. That's all I have for comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen. I don't see anybody else in the room or on the line for public comment. So that will take us to announcements. And we do have an ad hoc commission meeting, I believe 1:30 on Tuesday, dealing with a special issue. And then our next regular commission meeting will be Friday, March 5th, back here in room 413. Anything else for the good of the order? Is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.